but a broken rudder. And James is actually, in this chapter, he's talking about our tongue. How many of you like to talk? Come on. How many of you need $100? Yeah, see? All right, so we're going to begin in James chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. And the title of this passage in the Bible is called Controlling the Tongue. And it says, verse 1, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church." Wow, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. It's a pretty powerful statement there. Indeed, we all make mistakes. Anybody here make mistakes? Okay. We all make mistakes, for if we could control our tongue, here it is, Pastor Jesse, the perfection. If we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and can also control ourselves in every other way. Wow. Verse 3, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. And not the holy fire that we're talking about, that we're singing about, I mean. So, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Man, that tongue is strong, huh? Verse 7, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil and full of deadly poison. I mean, if we just stopped right here, I'd walk away feeling hopeless. It's like there's no hope for me. Number 9, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And a good example is that when you come into the house of God and you praise and you worship the Lord, then you fight with your wife all the way home. Now I'm meddling, I know. So blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth? Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Verse 11, does a spring of water bubble out of both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into this time, Lord, I pray that you would give each one of us revelation on our own tongue. Father, that we would learn from you, we'd learn by the Spirit, we'd learn through your word. And Lord, we would just take to heart what James is saying here today. And Lord, that transformation in the way we talk, in the words that come out of our mouth, would happen, Father. That we would allow you by the Spirit of God to transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. The tongue is powerful. Amen? It is powerful. A very powerful tool that James is already been talking to us about as we've gone through this in chapter 1, verse 26, he said, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. So there is something to be said about learning to control our tongue. Can I hear an amen? We've got to figure this out. We've got to get this down to where we can hold back from saying things, that we can change our mind on what we should say, on what we should say, you know, that we really can withhold from spewing the evil that is there on our tongue. Because he says the tongue is evil. It's evil. And so we have to learn how to not be evil, amen? How to not walk in that evilness, to walk in godliness, so that when we open our mouth, good things come out. Heather, that I say good things, not bad things, that I build up, I don't tear down, that I'm exalting God. But what if I exalt God and tear you down, then what good is it? God's like, this, James is like, hey, this shouldn't be so. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't exalt me and then go destroy somebody. You shouldn't exalt me and then go have a fight with somebody with your mouth. You should exalt me and you should exalt others. You should build them up, amen? We can't be, you know, double-minded in our speaking per se. So there seems to be an issue, though, with James in the early church with controlling the tongue. You know, he the whole time, as I talked about last week, he's trying to get the people to go through trials in a godly way. He's trying to get people to shine when they're going through the midst of trials and stuff. And then he's telling us, hey, you got to take care of the widows and orphans. You know, this is really pure religion. And abstaining from the things of the world, you know, that you look different. He's trying to encourage the people, hey, come on. And then he goes into this. He's like, this is the third time he's bringing up how we talk. So it's really an issue, but it's really an issue in the church, amen? How we talk to each other. People get offended all the time in the church. Something said, they receive something wrong, and just people get mad, and hey, then they're like, hey, what happened to that one guy? He's just gone. Somebody said something. You know, but the book, as it said, begins with trials, and his objective was to get us to profit from our trials instead of suffering. Let's make that number one today. Speak to profit, not to suffer. So we can go through trials in two ways. We can either learn from it and grow, or we can suffer and be miserable and go through it again. How many of you known people that seems like they're always going through that same thing over and over again? It's because we haven't learned from it. When we learn from it, we get off that cycle and we move on to the next thing. But chapter 3 is very clear that our tongue is like leading a horse. It steers the ship. It starts the fire. The tongue is a powerful tool, Dion. What we say, wow. Proverbs tells us that it either produces life or death. So we either speak to profit or we speak to suffer. One of the two. And this is why we need a knowledge of what Scripture is. We need a knowledge and an understanding of the Word of God so that we can learn to speak right. So that when we're going through trials, we speak good things. We speak life into us. We're not speaking death. We're not coming into agreement with the devil. Because a lot of times we do. We do it just because that's the way we're accustomed to do. We just come into agreement with what's happening to us. And so I want to learn to speak the word over my life so I'm not in agreement. And you know, and you would never say to you, oh, I'm in agreement with the devil. We would never say that. But the words that come out of our mouth just agree what the enemy's telling us. Smith Wigglesworth was a powerful man of God. He healed the sick, cast out demons, and he raised the dead. He went to a funeral one day, yanked the guy out of the coffin, put him against the wall, and said, come to life. And the guy slid down the wall. He picked him up again. On the third time, I mean, oh, wouldn't you be a little freaked out at that funeral? Oh, man, mama be up on you. Boom! Third time, the guy comes back to life. That's Smith Wigglesworth. But his thought was that he needed to take in Scripture every 15 minutes. That he needed to constantly be getting Scripture. Now, I know some of you can't do that. You can't just stop working and say, oh, I'm going to take a break for a minute and I'm going to read my Scripture. You can't do that. But there's ways that you can get the Word of God in you all the time. You know, if you're allowed to wear a headset, you can throw the Bible in there. You can listen to the Bible. It's free. You can download it for free. So you can listen to the Bible. I have my Bible open all the time, even in my office. But I know I don't read every 15 minutes. Only if I'm studying and preparing, you know, I do that. But, you know, there's a lot of paperwork that I have to do. And sometimes I'm not in it. But it's getting me thinking. I mean, this powerful man of God, every 15 minutes, hit the Word. Whether you read one scripture, you just take a little bit in. I met a guy the other day that he's a coach for pastors. And he's getting ready to put out 12 books that he thinks pastors should read. Now, what would qualify him to put that out is that he's read 310 books this year. He at a point in his life, he read one book a day. I'm like, who does that? Somebody that wants to grow. Somebody wants to keep changing their mind, keep renewing. It was just amazing. The power of the tongue comes from what it's influenced by. Right? Influence is a powerful thing also. And what you're feeding your mind with is what comes out of it. So if you're feeding on the Word of God, you're growing in the Lord constantly, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. You're going to speak life. You're going to speak the power of God into your life. Death in, death out. Life in, life out. Amen? So when we're bringing in life, it's profitable in, profitable out. Suffering in, suffering out. So it's the question that James has is, who can tame it? Conrad, who can really tame their tongue? Probably someone that has their jaw shut. You know, I remember my little brother broke his jaw and he had to have it all wired shut and everything. He's like, hey, dude, how's it going? You know, because he could just mumble. You know, that's one way to do it, I guess. But I feel like God wants me to help you. How many of you would like help controlling your tongue? How many were willing to invest to control your tongue? Now, I'm not talking money. I'm talking time. How many of you watched TV this week? Everybody, come on. Starting January 1, I'm going to start a Bible reading program with you. And we're going to focus on it. There's 260 chapters in the New Testament. 260. That'll take us out 260 days if you read one chapter a day of the New Testament. Okay? Very simple. We're all, January 1, we start with Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. But listen, read it in the morning, read it at lunch, and read it with your family at dinner. Focus in on one chapter a day, getting it in you, and I'm going to blog on every chapter every day, and it'll be on our website every day. I want to invest in me and in you that you, when you say, hey, what does this mean in chapter one? Chances are it'll be covered in my blog. And if not, email me and I'll give you some answers. But study it. Get it in you. Devour it. Eat it. Chew it. Live it. Breathe it. Act out on it. Amen? Step into it. But, and I'll be pushing more of this in the days ahead. But that's one challenge I have for you. We'll read the whole New Testament this year, one chapter at a time. I don't want to take in too much, you know, because when you read five or six chapters, you know, you're usually, you got to read quick, you put it away. But if you read one, Joe, then maybe you could read it at lunch when you're sitting there eating that sandwich. You could, you know, you could have your wife read it to you at dinner and, you know, and you could talk about it and you could fellowship over it. You know, what I do is I get together with guys in the morning and we just read a chapter a day. And so we're going to be on this schedule when I do my Bible study with men in the morning. And we're going to read this and go through this and then we talk about it. And then we pray that it will come alive in us. So then, that's not enough. We're going to start a Book of the Month Club. It's a sign-up sheet on the information booth. The books probably won't ever cost you more than $12, $13. The first book that I want to get for you to read is this little book. It's real thin. It's got 176 pages in it. And it's called Ever Increasing Faith. It's on faith. How many of you need more faith? All right, so we're on the right track. Ever increasing faith. Now, you just read this book. What'd you think?
I loved it.
You loved it.
It's fantastic. You have to read that book. You have to read your Bible first, then you have to read that.
Bible first, book second. You know, when that guy said he read 301 books, I was thinking he maybe read something like this every day, you know. But it's called Ever Increasing Faith by Smith Wigglesworth. And this tells a lot of the signs and wonders and miracles that happened in this man's ministry. It is so encouraging. I've read it about 3 or 4 times myself already. But I'm going to join with you in January, and I'm going to read it again. So, and then maybe we'll have a meeting once a month that we just get together and we talk about what we got out of it. What is God saying to you? What is he challenging you with? What is he doing in you that you pulled out of this book? Then the next month, we're going to read a book called The Pierced Tongue. And it's about learning to talk more kingdom-minded instead of fleshly-minded. And kind of where we are right now, talking about that. So there's a sign-up sheet in the information booth. Now, if you're going to join us, sign up. We're going to get them for $7. But listen, you can download it for 98 cents. Okay, so if you got a Kindle or whatever, you can download this for 98 cents off of Amazon. And then you can read it wherever you go and stuff. So it's a great book. So I want to help you that way. So what you put into you determines the shape. Amen? You know, this will cause us to feed on the good and to speak to profit. Amen? How many of you want a profit in this life? I do. I want a profit in this life. And I'm not talking about just money. I want my soul to prosper. I want my everything to prosper. My mind, my emotions, my health, my relationships. I want to prosper. I want to grow. But to grow, I've got to invest. Amen? We've got to do a spiritual workout. Read the word, pray, study, and grow. So the thing is that James said, he says, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. That's the objective. That's what growing will do in us. And what if we can begin to steer the ship towards victory? Instead of suffering, let's steer the ship towards victory. Because the power of the rudder in your ship is your tongue. What you say. The speaker that I listened to the other day, I went to a conference and he said, you can speak from a clean cup that is overflowing with God. You can speak from a clean cup that is empty and not be effective. Or you can speak from a dirty cup in which there's no life but death. I want a clean cup overflowing with God when I speak. Amen. We have to continue to put in the good to do that. We have to continue to renew our mind when we do that. And only you can decide what fills your cup. It's all up to you. So that's number one. Number two, speak to build and not to tear down. Now, number one, when I said, speak to profit, not to suffer. What that really is that's loving myself. Because when I speak, I'm going to speak life over myself. It's loving myself in the sense that when I'm speaking, that I'm producing life in myself. When I look in the mirror, I encourage myself by the word of the Lord. I'm loving myself. And so when I get to number two, speak to build and not to tear down, because I'm loving myself, now I can love others through speaking to build and not to tear down. So when I speak to my wife, or I speak to the congregation, or I meet with you one-on-one, I can speak life, and my objective is not to tear down. So because I'm loving others, what does the Bible say? Love your neighbor, how? As you love yourself. So let's make loving ourselves the first part and loving others our second part. Speak to build and not to tear down. James tells us it's hard to tame the tongue, but he gives us some quick tips that I've repeated every week. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. He tells us, listen first. Don't respond so quickly. And don't let anger become part of the equation. This is where we get a little challenged, amen? I mean, how many of you sometimes are quick to get angry? Yeah. So we want to avoid that, amen? So the answer to that is be a good listener. And I was out having dinner last night at Pinnacle Pete's, and they have all this cowboy paraphernalia. And I was just kind of looking around, looking for a bit I could maybe put in my mouth, you know, to refrain from saying things I shouldn't. But, it, you know, when you got something stuck in your mouth, it makes it a lot harder to speak, amen? And, but we can't walk around with a bit in our mouth or a bridle, just maybe a mouthful of gum or something. You know, but we have to make a conscious decision to do this. You can't just say, well, I'm not going to, you know, I'm good, you know, because I don't think we're all that good. I mean, James says your tongue is evil. It's evil. So we have to work it, our tongue being good. As we're feeding on the Word of God daily and acting on it, because reading it doesn't get it done. We got to read it and act upon it, amen? And act upon it. We become more God-conscious and less sin-conscious. You know, when Cardi first learned to drive, we had a little minivan, you know, and we'd let her drive it. And she was reaching for something. And, you know, we had this thing in football where your head goes, your body's going to follow, you know. So to watch the guy's head, you know, wherever that head goes, your body's going to go with it. And so Cardi's driving down our street, and her purse fell or something fell, and she reached down. She reached down and right into that motorhome. it just kind of follows. And when we're conscious of God, that's where we tend to follow. When we're sin conscious, when we're constantly thinking about, you know, what not to do, and we tend to do it. That's Paul said. He goes, there's things I don't want to do that I'm doing. It's not a good thing. You know, and that's when we're focused on those things that we shouldn't be doing, then we tend to do them. But if we focus on God and we become more God-conscious than we are sin-conscious, the sin stuff starts falling away. But I got to be thinking about God. I got to be focused on Him. I've got to have that attitude that I want to just be with Him. But if I'm always sin-conscious, Jesse, I'm always trying to focus on what I can't do. I like to look at what I can do. What I want to do, I want to do what I can do. I just want to focus on what the God consciousness in me. But we have to decide, amen? So we've got to speak to profit, not to suffer, loving self. Speak to build and not to tear down, loving others. And then number three is worship and prayer, loving God. See, Isaiah tells us, put on the garment of praise. You know, it's like, put on the garment. So I'll just use you, my brother. You're right here in the front, you know. You just put on the garment of praise, and then the spirit of heaviness is gone. You put it on. That means you open your mouth, you praise the Lord, and the spirit of heaviness can't stand being around it. He's like, oh, there he goes again. Look at Dion. He's raising his hand. Oh, what am I going to do? He's raising his hands. And that heaviness that you feel, the heaviness that tries to grip you, though, when the depression's trying to come, the heaviness has got to go because he can't take it. He's like, oh, my gosh, he's got his hand. Oh, he went on his knees. What am I going to do? The spirit of heaviness is gone from you. When you begin to praise and worship, that stuff goes. The enemy gets defeated when we do that. I think the strongest form of spiritual warfare that we have as believers is praise and worship. I put on that garment of praise, man. The spirit world cringes because we're exalting God. So praise and worship, listen, put on the garment of praise, the spirit of heaviness departs from me. It's when I praise the Lord, it changes my environment. It changes my environment. And that's what we need to do sometimes. We just need to change our environment of our surroundings, of where we're at. So, and if you're in a good environment, you have a better chance of being God-conscious than sin-conscious. You're focused on the Lord and if you're in a good environment. And when I'm sin-conscious, I'm looking at the law of the Word of God. I mean, I know the law is good. I shouldn't go out and commit murder. Can I hear an amen? Shouldn't go out and commit adultery. Amen. I'm focused more on what is sin and trying to concentrate on not doing it. When I'm God-conscious, I'm more focused on the freedom that I have in Christ. Now, the freedom that I have in Christ is not to do whatever I want. I am free to do whatever He wants. I'm free to live for Jesus. I'm free from sin. I have freedom. I'm free to go with the Lord and do whatever he calls me to do. You know, when in the service in worship, when he spoke to me about that lump disappearing, and I'm saying, Lord, is this you? And he said, can you imagine if you don't get up and say something right now? I'm like, ooh, I better get up there. I'm just going to miss out. Because I really just saw the lump just going in the spirit, just going. And so when God does that and you don't respond, you know, somebody's missing out, amen? So I'm free to do what he wants me to do. I can just step in. That's the freedom. I'm not free to go out and go drinking and carousing. That's not what he set me free for. He set me free so I don't have to. I can be joyful and happy no matter what, amen? I can fit in, I can flow, I can be Ron King. I don't need a drink to get me to be a happy-go-lucky guy. I'm always happy-go-lucky. God is good. He gives us freedom. So I have no limits that hold me back from what Christ has called me to. The limits are off. I can do whatever he wants me to do, amen? That's why I'm not afraid to go where he tells me to go. People always say, aren't you afraid to go there? No, I'm not afraid to go anywhere. I went places in China, and they're like, what are you doing over there? I said, what do you mean? He said, did you take bodyguards with you? I'm like, what are you talking about? And they said, well, you know, you could get in a lot of trouble over on that side of the country. And I'm like, I had fun. I don't ever think about what bad is going to happen. I go with what good is going to happen because God has sent me there. When I go on my next trip in February, I believe that God wants me to bring an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to that country. Amen. I believe that God is sending me there for that, for 7 days of ministry, that just to pour out the Spirit of God on that land. And I'm excited to go. Hallelujah. But I'm not afraid. Delana said, you can't buy a ticket until I get an approval from God. She's not here. I'm going to talk about her. I said, okay, I won't buy a ticket until you get an approval from God. And then G. King, that missionary from India, came second service in October, and he said, Pastor Ron, he said, how many flags do you have? And I started counting, and he goes, you have 18. I said, okay. He said, that's how many nations the Lord's going to send you to, and your congregation is going to get behind you to send you. I said, hallelujah. Delanda came and she said, I release you. I said, I won't go to country number 18 until I'm about 85. Then we always know I'm coming home. Because I'm blessed, my prayer life starts conforming to the way Jesus would want us to pray. I'm not focused on accusing people to God. I'm focused on lifting people up to the Lord, praying blessing on them. See, when I talk about accusing people to God in our prayer life, is you start praying, oh, Lord, please help this chair's anger. They're such an angry person, Lord. Lord, they need your help in this. Or I've just accused you. I accused the chair to God. Oh, Lord, help this chair's tongue to speak right. This poor chair is jacked up, God, always cursing and blaming and blah, 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 blah. We've accused the chair to God. Oh, Lord, this chair over here, it does so many drugs. It's got so much alcohol. It comes to church on Sunday but drinks like a fish on Monday. Oh, Lord, help that chair. We don't need the devil. We just accuse it to God. But, oh, Lord, I know you love this chair. I pray this chair, whoops, would not fall off the steps. I pray that you would just bless this chair with your loving kindness, Lord, that you would just fill this chair to know your love and to know the mercies of God, the tender mercies. Lord, let this chair just experience you like never before. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as he comes into salvation and you just start speaking life into that chair. Instead of accusing it to God, that's what happens when you're praising and you're worshiping and you're focusing in on God instead of the sin. You're so God conscious that you can't focus on the sin stuff. So you're just lifting up and you're speaking blessing. And you know, I know that some people don't deserve to be blessed. What? See, that's how we think, though. Well, I'm not going to pray for this person. They don't deserve to be saved. They're mean. You guys are all staring at me hard now. But my words are uplifting and encouraging in prayer. If I got people that don't like me, I pray for them harder. Lord, bless them. I don't pray, God, let them like me. I don't really care. But I pray that they know God. Amen? And if we're the body of Christ, that we love one another. Amen? You know, but talking the way that James says, verse 5, he says, in the same way the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Now, if you're married, you probably know what I'm talking about. Thanks, Conrad, for that little laugh there. If you're single, you've probably lost a few friends along the way in life. Something you said, a little fire starting. And we've talked about imputing the Word of God into our lives, and so imputing some encouragement, by reading, getting the Word of God in us by reading it every day, getting some encouragement by reading a book every month. But I want to give you one more thing that could help you out in your communication. Communicate at home the same way you would when you're at church or you're at work and you're maybe, if you're the boss, maybe you talk however you want at work, but you know, because when we tend to come to church, we tend to say nice things, we tend to be nice. When we go to work, we tend to hold our tongue. We tend to bite it and not respond back because we really need a job. And I would just say, do it better at home than you do anywhere else. Do it your best at home. Learn to hold your tongue at home so that you don't create trouble and start a wildfire in your home. Hold your home and your family in high esteem. If we're going to be effective witnesses, we need to make sure we live it. Amen? So I've given you a few things. Let's read the New Testament this year. Let's get in the Book of the Month Club. Let's do it better at home than we do at church or work. And if we're going to ignite a fire, let's start a revival fire. Amen? Your tongue will shape the direction that your life goes. That's pretty powerful. You can change direction today. Amen? Romans 10:9 says, if we openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Our tongue and the confession of our tongue has a lot to do with our eternity. Have you made that confession of Christ? Why don't you stand with me this morning? Juwan, if you guys could come back. Put that next slide up there. There it is. It says, Jesus is Lord. I'd like us as a congregation today make a confession of faith today together. And I'd like us to say this 3 times, loud. How many of you can do that? Loud. We can. Just Jesus is Lord. So I'm going to count to 3, and we're going to say it 3 times. 1, 2, 3. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to ask the altar workers to come right now because we'd like to pray with you. Maybe today you said Jesus is Lord and you really meant it today. Maybe you haven't been in a position where Jesus is Lord over your life and you're saying today Jesus is Lord, and it's a positive confession of what God is telling you today. I'd like you to, in a moment, just to come and tell one of these people and let them pray for you. Maybe you've haven't been speaking to a prophet, but you've been speaking to suffer. You haven't been showing yourself much love by your words. And maybe you've been not speaking to build, but you've been speaking to tear down. Loving others has been a challenge with your words. And maybe just loving God with your worship and prayer has been a challenge lately. And you've had a tough time entering in. Well, all we want to do today is we just want to come into an agreement with a new thing happening in you today. And God, just give you a new tongue, a tongue of refreshing, a tongue that's holy and not rebellious, a tongue that's holy and not creating a wildfire that destroys. So as we worship the Lord this morning, I just invite you to come right now and to allow one of these men and women of God to pray for you if you need prayer in this area that we've talked about today. Jawan.
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life, my place in your hands, God of glory. Humble, I bow down in your presence at your throne. I call, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I want to be with you.
Praise you, Father. Lord, I pray that as we go our way today, that Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just remind us daily, Lord, of this passage. And Lord, that we would learn to speak life, not death, over ourselves and over our family and friends, Father God. Lord, that you would strengthen each one of us, Lord, in a tongue, Father God, that we know speaks evil, that, Lord, that blessing and cursing would not be coming out of the same mouth, that we would learn to speak blessing, Father. You cover and protect each person here. The healing be our portion today, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.